All right. Welcome to this installment of Motivational Monday. Glad you're here. Today I want to talk about down and dirty, up and clean. No disciple can claim to be free from dirt. There is not one who can boast, "I'm too neat to get dirty." And there is not one who can legitimately claim, "I'm too nice to have to deal with dirt." Author Steve Smith tells of a man who lived a safe life. He decided not to love too much because love costs too much. He decided not to dream too much because dreaming only brought disappointment. He decided not to serve too much because serving got your hands filthy and got you in trouble. But when he died, he presented his life to God, undiminished, unmarred, and unsoiled by the messiness of this fallen world. He proudly said, "God, here is my life." And God said, "Life? What life?" You see, dirt is a byproduct of godly living. Perhaps your house, your study, your garage is littered with the debris of dashed ambitions and smashed projects. Jesus gave us a sacrament of failure when he told the disciples to shake the dust off their feet when leaving an unreceptive town. And perhaps you've shaken the dust off your feet ever since you learned of that sacrament and having to start new projects and leave other things behind. Dirt is generated not just by our lifestyles, but by souls and mission. Even good intentions are begrimed. Our best foot forward has something in it to be forgiven. Sometimes it takes a historical perspective for us to see what needs pardoning. In 1712, the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel, SPG is what it was called, was bequeathed a plantation called the Codrington Estates on the island of Barbados. It was known as one of the most progressively run plantations with respect to its treatment of slaves. The trustees gave the slaves Saturday afternoon and the evening off to work in their own gardens so that they would be free on Sundays for religious instruction and worship. It became the prime worldwide model of how slaves should be treated. One of the first things the SPG managers did was brand the name Society on the chest of the 300 slaves who worked there. How does that prime model look now? In the same way as arrangements must be made to take care of the dirt that accumulates in our home, so also in our spiritual life, there must be periodic spring cleanings to dispose of dirt properly. Self-righteousness, perhaps, is the foulest of spiritual odors. Our nation's greatest American, Abraham Lincoln, said that in politics, every person must skin their own skunk. Well, not just in politics are we called to do dirty jobs. No one likes to do chores, but everyone has to do them. Like Peter, we'd rather build tabernacles than change diapers or wash feet or take out the garbage. A lot of us think nothing of asking God to take out our garbage. A lot of us are asking God to do things we should be doing. How do we keep clean while getting dirty? One could mention here the obvious spiritual practices of prayer, fasting, meditation. But perhaps the greatest cleansing stream to be found in life is the Eucharist. 1 John 1:9 is a daily mantra that we could say, if we sin, and of course we all do, daily, maybe hourly, we can be forgiven just by confessing to God. But there is something about having to wash one's hands before one comes to the table, having to wash one's soul before one sits down with Jesus and handles the food and the wine of our Lord and Savior. This is why the greatest spiritual forerunners of our traditions could never take the Lord's Supper enough. We can never take the Lord's Supper enough. It keeps us clean and fresh and honest, leading into this thing called life, where God will not be asking us what life, but no, a life well lived in Jesus. May you meditate on that on this week and this day. And in the words of Paul Harvey, good day.